John chapter 6, verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him. And he saith unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennies worth of bread is not sufficient for them. Remember that little phrase, not sufficient, not sufficient. 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would bless the message this morning. Lord, I pray that you would use it, dear God, in our lives in such a way so that, Lord, we could see the mindset of the Lord Jesus Christ. We could learn of a better way of thinking, Lord. And Lord, we want to think right so we'll feel right, and feel right so that we'll do right. And so help us to win the battle on the great battleground of the mind. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to preach a message this morning on this subject, half full or half empty. Half full or half empty. We've had some interruptions as we've had some guest speakers and Father's Day and different things, but we've been kind of pecking away at this idea and preaching a series of messages on the mindset of the victorious Christian. And folks, one of the things that you'll notice as you examine and watch and try to figure out, I mean, as you look at victorious Christians, you know what you begin to figure out? They don't think like other Christians. They don't think like other Christians. So we're trying to get our minds in the right place. The Bible says that we should not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So we've preached on these subjects, I can or I can't. Well, I'm not going to re-preach it, but young people, let me ask you this. Have you already gotten an I can't mentality? You know what, when I hear I can't, a lot of the times when I hear somebody say I can't, you know what I'm really hearing? I won't. I won't. I can or I can't. How about I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me? Thermostat or thermometer, have you been working on that? Do you walk into a situation and whatever the temperature is, do you adjust to that temperature, or do you walk in and set the temperature? Victim or victor, one of the most important messages. If you didn't hear it, you weren't here. We've got an entire nation walking around with a victim mentality. God did not save you so that you could spend your life being a victim. He saved you so you could be a victor through the Lord Jesus Christ. How about this one? Rights or responsibilities? Well, that needs to be preached everywhere. We need to rewire an entire country, an entire generation. Everybody's talking about their civil rights. Very few are talking about their civil duties. How about responsibilities? You know what? The reason that you have been given rights, so you can fulfill your responsibilities, not just so you can do whatever you want to do. How about this one? We taught on cowardice versus courage, cowardice versus courage. And there's a different way of thinking that we explained and went through. Today, I want to preach on this subject, half full or half empty, the mindset of the victorious Christian. I had Brother Reiser searching the property looking for a glass container. This is what he found for me. This will work. You know what? Is the water warm? The water's actually warm, brother. All right. I was going to drink it, but now I'm not going to. Half full or half empty. You know, that's the old thing. You've heard that said probably all through your life. You know, if you see a glass that's half full, do you do you say it's half full or do you see it as half empty? I want you to take a look at that and think about that for a few minutes. You know what? There's going to be times and situations where it doesn't seem like you have been given enough. Imagine in America, all right? Let's just imagine this. I don't imagine it's happened to many of us because we wouldn't tolerate it. Can you imagine going to a restaurant and ordering something to drink and having the waitress bring you a half a glass of iced tea? I mean, yeah, I'll take sweet tea and she comes and it's half full. You know what you'd do? You'd look at that. You'd look at everybody else at the table. Everybody else would look at you. And then you look at the waitress like, seriously? I mean, if you're a coffee drinker, amen, don't be bringing me no half cup of coffee, all right? And I don't even want it to get below half. I want you to keep that thing full for me, you know. We're wired that way, you know. And we're just not used to that situation. And yet the honest truth is there's many times in my life that I feel like the Lord's given me about half of what I feel like I need. Now let me tell you, in the specific areas, I'm just being transparent, I'm being honest with you. I feel like that there's some things I feel like I never have enough of, like God didn't give me enough of this. The first one is time. You ever feel that way? We just feel like, Lord, you know what? I don't feel like we've given it enough time. I don't feel like the Lord's given us enough time. If I only had more time, Lord, I have about half of what I feel like I need. How about this? Enough strength. You're gonna understand that the older you get in life, where you just feel like, I remember Dad getting to the latter part of his life, and one of the things he told me, he said, Jerry, I'm good for about half a day now. And you know, there's times when I just feel like, you know what, man, I wear out quicker than I used to, and I need more energy, and Lord, I need more strength. I feel like you gave me about a half a glass of strength. You ever feel this way? I never feel like I have enough resources. And I mean that. There's so much to accomplish. There's so much to do. There's so many needs out there. Have you ever kind of fussed at the Lord a little bit and say, Lord, you know, I feel like we're just barely making it and we're living on about half of, if I could just double, if I just had half again, here's all the things I could do and would like to do. And I always feel like, you know, even sometimes in the ministry, if we had a little bit more resources, if we had more resources, we could have more of an effect, we could do more for the Lord. And honestly, folks, there's times where I face situations where I feel like I've got about a half a glass of wisdom. And I said, Lord, I need a full glass of wisdom, and I feel like I've got about a half a glass of wisdom. I've never felt like I've had enough time. I've never felt like I've had enough strength. I've never felt like I've had enough resources. I've never felt like I have enough wisdom. We see a situation in the story here on the feeding of the 5,000 where the disciples saw a situation differently than the Lord saw it. And Jesus used this opportunity to teach them to think differently. Jesus had been preaching and teaching. He'd been performing miracles as far as healing the sick. And because of that, a great multitude began to follow him. And he went up to a mountain to sit with his disciples. And as we read the story in other places, they were really trying to just take a break. They wanted a little bit of a downtime. They'd been working and ministering and giving out and giving out and giving out and giving out. And it was like, we're just going to go up here. We can take a little time and get a little rest and physical strength. And about that time, here comes the multitude. They found out where they were, and here they come again. And all these needs. And so Jesus spends more time teaching and more time healing, and then it gets down to the latter part of the day. They're way out in the wilderness. There's an issue as far as nobody brought food. How in the world are we going to, are these folks going to get something to eat? And so Jesus engages the disciples in a conversation here, beginning in verse number 3. And Jesus went up to a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. In verse 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes, saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Now watch this, because this is important. By the way, great training, leadership. All right, how do you bring your young people up to think a certain way? How do you bring a church to think a certain way? It's a lot of times, see, Jesus didn't need to discuss with the disciples what needed to be done. He knew what he was going to do. The reason he's engaged them in conversation is to get them to think a certain way, to gauge how they were viewing the situation, and then teach them to view it in a different manner. By the way, folks, I promise you this. Don't check out on me. You're going to get some good stuff this morning. Stay with me this morning. Because, folks, a lot of times we look at a situation like they looked at, and we see half empty, and we don't see half full. We see the problem, but we can't see the solution. We think there's no way when Jesus says there is a way. All right? And so he engages them into conversation here. Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? This he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennies worth of bread is not sufficient. Not sufficient. Preacher, or Jesus, we just don't have enough to take care of the situation. Maybe if we had a full glass instead of a part of a glass, we could take care of it. But it's, you know what? We're not even half full. We don't even have half the food. So, we don't have the money. If we had the money, we don't have the time to run and get it. We don't have the resources to go all the way to town and bring it back here. And that's why in other portions, they were telling Jesus, just send them away. Just send them. There is no answer. They just need to go back home, do the best they can. If some faint along the way, it's a risk we're going to have to take because it's impossible. We can't do it. Now they're thinking wrong, and Jesus is going to help them fix their thinking here. One of the disciples, chapter 8, by the way, I like the fact that they're at least thinking. Okay, he asked Philip, well, what are we going to do? How do we buy food? Philip starts calculating the money. Starts looking at the logistics. I mean, at least he's thinking. Verse 8, one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here that hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. At least Andrew jumped up and said, well, let's go see what we've got. Okay, they're trying. I thank God they're thinking. Okay, I mean, praise God if you can get people to think nowadays, even if they're not thinking right, just get them to think. If someone begins to think, you can guide their thinking. You see? So they're thinking, there's something there to work with. They're trying to figure it out. They're trying to come to an answer. They're trying to come to a conclusion of some kind here. And so we see a process that Jesus goes through. Now I'm gonna use what Jesus did here and teach us what to do when your cup is half full, or what to do when you don't have enough. Preacher, I'm facing a situation. The honest truth is I don't have enough. And what I need is more. I mean, that's the answer to it, is I need more than I have. And so Jesus is going to show us something here and teach us something. What do you do when your cup is half full? You're right, preacher. You know what? I don't have enough time. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. I live a frustrated life. I mean, I live a frustrated life. I don't feel like I have enough time. I don't have enough strength. I don't have enough resources. Sometimes I don't feel like I have enough wisdom for all of the problems that I'm facing. I don't have enough of the answers. What do you do when you don't have what you think that you need? Number one, let me ask you this. Number one, evaluate your motive. Now, I want to start with this. Evaluate your motive. Well, you say, preacher, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough strength. I don't have enough resource. I don't have enough wisdom. Let me ask you this. If God gave you more time, what would you do with it? If God gave you more strength, what would you do with it? Come on now. If God gave you more resources, what would you do with them? If God gave you more wisdom, you know what? Jesus, here we see in this verse number 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come to him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now let me tell you where our frustrations lie, and a lot of times why we do not, you know, fuss at the Lord for not having as much as we think we want. Well, Lord, I need more time. And because I want to do this, I need more strength because I want to be able to do this. I want more resources because I want to have these things. I need more wisdom so that it'll benefit me. And you know, one of the reasons that God blesses somebody and increases what they have is he first looks at the heart. At the heart. Listen, here's what I found out. Let me just help you with this. If you find a Christian that needs more of any of the things I just listed, and the reason that he wants them and the reason that he needs them is to help other people, most of the time, God gives it to them. But you know what? The Bible warns us that God does look at the heart. In James 4, verses 1 through 3, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? You lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. Watch this. Ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Well, I wish I had more time. Honestly, if God all of a sudden, decided he was going to slow the rotation of the earth and grant every single one of us 10 more hours in a day than we have, or 10 more hours a week than we have right now, what would we do with it? What would we do with it? Do we want more time to visit our bus route? We want more time to go soul winning? Do we want more time to be able to go out and help people that need help? You know, the honest truth is we fuss at the Lord for not having enough, but God looks at our heart and says, why do you want it? By the way, what are you doing with the time I've already given you? And if you're not using the time I've already given you for my glory and my benefit and the help of others, why do I think that if I gave you more time, you would do anything more than what you're doing with what I have given you? How about that? There was two great motives here, if you'll take a look at the scripture. The proper motive for needing more than half a glass is to help others in need. And if you look at the last verse we read, verse 14, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that the prophet should come into the world. Here's the kind of a person that can always get God to top off his glass. Let me tell you who that is. Somebody that's looking for an opportunity to help others and somebody that's looking for an opportunity to bring glory to God. Lord, if you can give me a little more time, I can help others and bring you glory. You know what? You'll find that God will fill your cup up. He'll run it over. Are you listening to me? If I had enough strength, Lord, I'd help others and I can bring glory to you. That's the person that God listens to, and that's where the miracles start happening. I'm helping us here. You know, we complain about what God hasn't given us, but you know what God does? He wants to kind of fuss back and complain to us. What are you doing with what I have given you? And so first of all, we want to evaluate our motive. Here's a man that God blessed with an unusual plentiful harvest. In Luke 12, he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no rooms where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Well, I'm going to tell you, preacher, if we could just make $10,000 more a year than we're making right now, I'm going to tell you, things would be, what would you do with it? Let me ask you this. Do you tithe on what he is giving you? Do you give offerings with what you are? Why in the world? What have you given to God as evidence that you're trustworthy enough and deserving enough for an increase in what you're wanting to complain you don't have enough about? Now think about that this morning, all right? So first of all, we have to evaluate our motive. What is the proper motive for needing more than half full glass? You know what it is? So I can help others bring glory to God. Number one, evaluate your motive. Now, I'm going to give you some very practical things that'll help you. Preacher, I'm going to tell you, this matter of time, it's frustrating in my life. Not having enough strength, not having enough resources, not having enough wisdom. I feel like I got half what I need. How do I get all that I need? Stay with me. Number one, evaluate your motive. Are you a good candidate? Are you a good investment for God to give you more than he would give the average person? Number two, inventory what you do have. Inventory what you do have. Did you notice here that Andrew, as I mentioned a minute ago, jumped up? I mean, when Jesus said, hey, how are we going to feed these folks? Andrew jumped up and he began to go around. He began to talk to people and say, hey, do you have any food? Anybody bring anything? Anybody bring it? I mean, folks, listen to me. What do you honestly have? What do you have? What has God made available to you? What time do you have? Preacher, I don't have enough time. It's just so easy to just make, I don't have enough time. I just don't have enough time. I just don't have enough time. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time. Well, now you got 15 seconds less than you did. I mean, it's easy to sit around talking about what you don't have. Have you really inventoried it? Or have you really taken account? What strength do you have? What resources has God trusted you with? What amount of wisdom do you have? Okay, so one of the things Andrew did was he said, what do we have here? And by the way, he wasn't afraid to go around and ask people. He says, so what has God given you and what has God made available to you through others? Okay, Preacher, I don't have enough time. I have more to do than I have time to do. Well, have you inventoried that time? Okay, let's inventory. You got 168 hours in a week. By the way, we all got that same. Maybe different on resources, but on time, we're all in the same boat. All right, 168 hours. Preacher, I don't have enough time. I'm telling you right, I'm just living frustrated. No matter what I do, how hard I work, I can't get caught up. I'm always behind. It just seems like there's important things that aren't getting done. Stop a minute. You need to inventory your time. You've got 168 hours. Now watch this. Let me ask you this. What is it that you need to accomplish this week in that 168 hours? Well, I don't know. All I know is I just don't have enough time. You don't know if you do or not because you don't even know what you know what your problem is? Organization's your problem. Organization's your problem. 168 hours. What do you have to do this week? Now stop. Stop just running around in despair and telling everybody why you can't. What? All right. Inventory it. What do you need to accomplish this week? Let's just take a week. What do you need to accomplish this week? Well, I had to think about it. All right, start thinking. Write it down. Listen, folks, you know why most folks walk around claiming they don't have enough time? Because they don't even know what they're doing. They don't have a plan. There's something called a to-do list. If you are 12 years old or older and you don't work off of a to-do list every day, you are wasting most of the life God's given you. What are you going to do tomorrow? I don't know. What time are you going to get up? What are you going to do when you get up? Man, I'll tell you what, I ain't got enough time. Why would God give you any time? Time to do what? Sit around confused? You're not living life. You don't have a plan. You're wasting the most precious thing God could give you, and that's breath and life and time. You got a plan? Write a to-do list. I'm going to help some of you right now. See, some of you think you got a half glass, and you really got a full glass, but you walk around whining like you got a half glass. All right, so what do you got to accomplish this week? Honestly, write it down. I spend my life working off of a to-do list. I know exactly what I need to accomplish this week. I've got it written down. I know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I'm going to know what I need to get accomplished Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. By the way, when you're out of town for a week, that to-do list really grows, amen? So what? Now watch this. Write a to-do list. Write a to-do list. Hey, you know what they said here? He didn't just come and say, there's a lad here that's got some food. Did you notice that? He said, there is a lad here which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. He knew exactly what he had. All right, now think about that. I'm talking about if you really want to accomplish some things in life. Preacher, you're busy. I hope so. You know, don't say that like you're complaining. Do you pay me not to be busy? Listen, I'm just going to tell you. Just look right up here. I accomplish more in a week than most guys accomplish in a month. And I do it because I do it on purpose. I do it because I got a plan. Because I do it because I don't waste any time walking around whining about my half glass of time. I got the same amount of time you do, but you know what? I'm going to squeeze it. I'm going to get everything I can out of it. Brother Gomez was talking to me, and he said, Brother Ross, he said, I don't know. He everybody wants to know, how do you find time to write? A lot of preachers. Well, we need preachers writing books. We really do. We need independent fundamental Baptist preachers. Where do you find the time to do it? Well, I got the same amount of time everybody else has. It's called discipline. It's called schedule. It's called knowing what you need to and want to accomplish in life and writing it down and making a plan to get it done. Lazy people don't get much done. They squander time. If you're watching TV for 20, 25, 30 hours a week, what are you doing? If you're Facebook stalking for 30 hours a week, that could be why you only have half a glass. All right, let me give you this because I want you to get this. Write down a to-do list. All right, here's my big to-do list. Now prioritize. Okay, what has to be done today? All right, on my to-do list, there's some things that are pressing that have to be done that day, and there's some things that I can schedule ahead to do. So you prioritize. Now you've got your list that needs to be done today. Write a to-do list, prioritize. Say, preacher, there's more on my list than I can accomplish. Then delegate. Number three, delegate. To-do list, prioritize, delegate. You know what? There's some things that most of us are trying to do that really ought to be done by somebody else. And by the way, there's a lot of people that don't have a lot to do. They'd be blessed. They'd be blessed. Give them an opportunity. But let me warn you about something. Most people, and especially the ones that don't do a whole lot anyway, what little they have to do, they like to go find somebody else and put that on them. I want all of you to stop and think this minute. Preacher, I am so overwhelmed. I've got so many things to do. Let me ask you an honest question. Have you taken upon yourself to do what somebody else should be doing? I'm going to talk to all you young couples. I'm going to have about half of you mad at me, but you just got to get over it. You can fuss at the Bible. You young mothers, you can fuss at the Bible all you want to. Okay? You can swing from the chandeliers and talk about women's rights and blah, 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 but there's a reason that King James Holy Bible tells you that when you have children, you're to be a keeper at home. Excuse me, I got a lot to do. Me and my wife raised our kids. We raised our kids. I understand when your kids get up to a certain age and they can got some responsibility, they care. I'm not fussing, but I'm talking about you. Listen, too many grandmas and grandpas raising kids. There's a lot of older people that are frustrated. They don't have the strength. They don't have the energy to do it. And yet they're guilt tripped into doing it because you want the best of both worlds. You know, I'm going to live foot free and fancy. I want to make this money. I want to have this career. And by the way, I want to have kids. And so let's see, who can I get to take and with my, and all of a sudden everybody in the family. Okay, I heard some of the girls whine and complain, murmuring a little bit against what Mrs. King was teaching in our Bible class. By the way, she was teaching out of the book on femininity, so she's teaching what I wrote. Yeah, but you know what? It's not wrong for women to have a career. Okay, fine. Who's raising their kids? Cousins and sisters and moms and grandmas. And see, the difference between you and me is you'll let them guilt trip you into doing that, and I won't. Because listen to me, I'm not doing them a favor by taking what God gave them the responsibility to do and making it my responsibility. And I'm just telling you right now, everybody in here that's living frustrated, say, well, I don't have enough time. Wait a minute, what have, good-hearted people, that's who gets taken advantage of, good-hearted people. What have you taken on as a responsibility that really is not your responsibility? And by the way, you're doing somebody else wrong by taking on that responsibility. So those of you in the old days that worked in our Christian school, you know what we used to do, and I'm going to do it this fall. I'm going to do it again. Everybody that works in school is going to do the monkey pace. How many of you have ever taken the monkey pace? You know what I'm talking about, all right? The monkey pace. I love it because you take all of your staff and you take them into training, and the first thing they do is they sit at the desks where the students sit, and they have to do pace work. Monitors, teachers, everybody has to do pace work. They have to finish a pace. And they put their flag up and they're trying to get it done. And I'm over there talking, ignoring them on purpose so that they'll remember later how the students feel when they're trying to get their work done and monitors are over there talking and not answering flags, amen? It'll torture you for it. Let me tell you what the monkey pace is all about. All right, everybody in life has been given certain monkeys that you're supposed to take care of. You got to feed them. You got to take care of them. You got to watch them. They're your monkeys. See, this is weird. I know it is. But wait, all right, here's your monkey. Here's seven monkeys. These are my monkeys, and I've got to take care of these monkeys. I got to feed them, watch them, take care of them. They're my responsibility. If any of them die, it's on me. Monitors in our school have certain monkeys' responsibilities. Teachers have certain monkeys. They're called students. Y'all were thinking it. As a principal, Brother Young has certain monkeys. As an administrator, I have certain monkeys. My wife as a school secretary has certain monkeys, all right? Let me tell you how you have disarray in an organization. When a monitor wants to give two or three of their monkeys to the teacher to take care of, or a teacher wants to give monkeys to a monitor, or a teacher wants to give monkeys to the principal. Well, this monkey's just hard to handle, and it's frustrating me, and so I'm going to try to go. And you, by the way, monkeys are usually passed up the chain of command. You know, a principal comes to my office and sits down, and Brother Young hasn't done this, but he come to my office, sit down, and said, "Preacher, I know you want me to do this, this, and this, but here's the reason, and I've been trying to do this, and it won't work." And you know what? As a leader, sometimes you just want to say, "Okay, fine, I'll take it." Mistake. Mistake. Next thing you know, I'm taking care of all of my monkeys and a bunch of other people's monkeys that I shouldn't be taking care of because they come and whine to me, and I thought it was an act of compassion. It's never an act of compassion to take somebody else's responsibility and assume it for your own. Listen, God's using that assignment to mold them and to make them. Now, as a leader, what I'll do is I'll retrain them on how to take care of their monkey, but I'm not taking the monkey. Amen. I'm helping a bunch of you right now. If you think about it, say, what, monkeys? What has this got to do with anything? I'm saying this. Some of you are frustrated because you've taken monkeys. You're taking care of monkeys that you have. It's somebody else's monkey. Amen. A lot of times family takes advantage of family. Yeah, but they're trying to stop it. Yeah, I know they got a boatload of excuses, and now they've put you into a life of misery and exhaustion because you're falling for their nonsense. You look at them and say, "Hey, you know what? Life's tough, isn't it, sometimes? God bless you. I'll sure pray for you." I guess you're going to, by the way, I'm going to teach you how to take care of your monkeys this morning. I'm teaching you right now how to take care of your monkeys. Okay? You know, I don't have enough time, preacher. My glass, God didn't give me enough time. Write a to-do list, prioritize, delegate. Some things should be done by somebody else. Some things is somebody else's responsibility, and it's come back on you. Give it back to where it belongs. All right, so I write a to-do list. I know this isn't hanging from the chandelier stuff, but this makes a difference in how you live your life this week. Number one, write a to-do list. Number two, prioritize what needs to be done today. Number three, delegate. If there's some things that can or should be done by someone else, then give that to them and make them keep it and make them be responsible for it. That's good leadership. Organize. By the way, some of you moms are stressed. You know why? Because you're still doing stuff for your kids that they're old enough to have done, should have been doing for themselves for years. And you're not doing them a favor by keeping still doing it for them. Okay, time to start going home and saying, "Okay, kids, line up, because I got some monkeys I'm going to hand out." And y'all have handed all these monkeys to mom, and you know what? Mom ain't taking care of your monkeys for you. You're going to take care of your monkeys. I love that. I can't wait to listen to this sermon later on. You imagine this being on the radio next week? People's going to be, "What?" Someone gets in their car about halfway through the message, and they turn it on, and all of a sudden the preacher's talking about taking care of his monkeys. And they're like, "What is going on?" Write up a to-do list. Prioritize. Delegate. Organize. What can be done more efficiently? I mean, listen, folks, I can only give away so much. So there's some things I have to do as a pastor. If I've got something that's taking me 4 hours a week to do, you know what I do? I look at it and say, "How can I get it down to 2 hours a week? How can I be more efficient? How about this? Multitask. Are there some things that can be done simultaneously? Some things you can do two things at a time." I'm telling you, I'm talking about how you live. I'm talking about how you get a bunch of stuff done. Offload. Watch this. Some things get on your list and you're looking at saying, "You know what? I don't need to give that to somebody else and I don't need to do it. It just really don't need to be done." You mean just, "Oh yeah, just, I ain't doing that." Yeah, but what? Is the world going to end if it don't get done? Have you talked yourself into thinking that it needs to be done? It really doesn't need to be done? You know what, folks? We all live in a certain 168 hours. That's what we've got. You know what? There's some things that, I'm sorry. I've come up with my list. I've prioritized. I've delegated. I've organized. I multitask. And you know what? There comes a point in time where some things, you know what? They're just not life or death, and they're just going to have to not get done. How about that? How about that? By the way, I can't. What happens if I stop doing that? Probably nothing. You're happier. World didn't come to an end. It's fine. Okay? All right. So what I'm saying is this. Evaluate your motive. Okay? Why do you want to have more than you have? Whether it's time, strength, resources, or wisdom, why do you want more of it? So you can use that time or those resources, strength and wisdom, to benefit yourself? Or are you concerned about serving others and bringing glory to God? Number two, inventory what you do have. You don't know what you can and can't do till you see what you got. Listen, we're talking about time. How about money? Preacher, I don't have enough money. I don't have the resources to do what I need to do. Inventory. I know we're spending a lot of time on number two here, but this is the important part. You've got to inventory what you have. Inventory what you have. Inventory your financial situation. Folks, listen, if you've got financial difficulties, look up here and let me help you. One of two things are going to have to happen, or maybe a combination of both. You've got to increase your income, and you've got to decrease your output. Young people, it's not rocket science. I hope you're all listening, because real life's is coming to get some of you in the near future. You know what? God gets blamed for a lot of things God didn't have anything to do with. Well, God didn't provide enough. Well, first of all, what is enough? Well, I don't know. Well, why don't you know? Don't you live by a budget? Don't you know what your bills are? Don't you know what you got to have coming in? Don't you know exactly what you have coming out? Well, it depends on what kind of a mood I'm in when it comes to spending. That's your problem. You know, we'll waste what God gives us, and then we want to fuss at God for not providing for us. That's baloney. Well, preacher, we are just in dire straits right now. Okay, what'd you buy in the last year that you sure would like to have that money back for? Okay, let me tell you what yard sales are. Yard sales is an annual event where all of the stupid stuff that we shouldn't have bought anyway over the last 12 months, we now take and put out on tables and we sell them for a tenth of what we paid for them. Why do you have to have a yard sale every 6 months? Where's all that stuff coming from? I mean, if we had a yard sale every 6 months, we would have nothing in our house. I mean, if you're going to other yard sales, buying stuff cheap, having your own yard sale, making some money, that's actually capitalism. That's smart. Take advantage of all the other idiots, amen? What do you have coming in? What do you have going out? Are you thinking about this? You got to inventory things. Then you got to ask yourself a question. Do I need to increase my income? Do I need to decrease my output? Watch this. What are necessities and what are luxuries? I mean, I think this ought to be an annual thing. We teach it, and I didn't teach it this January, but probably ought to teach it every January. But folks, listen to me. I believe every single year you ought to look at every single bill you have and you ought to say, how can I either diminish that bill or make it disappear? And you know how you do it? You pick up the phone. Preacher, I'm spending $200 a week on my cell phone bill. Well, then pick up the phone and talk to the company and tell them this. I just want to call you and let you know this. I am not paying $200 a month for my cell phone bill. Are you listening to me? I am not. Which means that by the time I get off the phone, we're going to have drastically diminished this, or I'm going somewhere else. And I promise you, they just sharpened their pencil. Okay. Have you talked to your electric company? Have you looked at ways to decrease your electric bill? Have you taught your kids that when they walk in a room and flip a light on, when they leave, they're supposed to turn it off? Do you leave your air conditioner running when you're not going to be there for 8 hours? Well, I just want it to be cool when I walk in. All right, that's fine, but it costs something to do that. I'm just saying every single thing. You know why your parents fuss at you guys so much? Because you don't pay the bills. I don't know what the big deal is about. Well, you left this open and it spoiled, or you didn't use this, or you left this on, or, you know, you kids that you know, every time you leave the house, you think the door is like at Walmart where it just closes itself. You know, my mom used to say, you boys born in a barn? And I didn't say it because I'd have got slapped, but I always wanted to say, well, Jesus was, so what? But that woman would have slapped the snot out of me. I'd say it, but I'd wait till I get to the front yard to whisper it under my breath. I was scared. Listen, I don't know who your mama was, but I was scared of my mama, amen. Yes, ma'am. Jesus was born in a barn. I don't know what the problem is being born in a barn. Say, why'd you think like that? Because I was an idiot. That's why. I'm trying to stop you from being idiots. Think. Okay? Well, God just didn't provide. God didn't just provide. God didn't, you know, God said, all right, I've given you so much. You never inventory it. You never figure it out. You don't know what's going out. You don't know what's coming in. You don't have a plan. And then you're praying and asking me to give you more. What do you think God's going to, I mean, God is a pretty good investor. God is a pretty wise investor. Wouldn't he look down at a person who's got their ducks in a row and are treating all, listen, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Which means the tithe's not just God's. Everything he gives you belongs to God. And you know what he likes to do? Find faithful stewards that will properly handle his resources. When he finds somebody like that, he starts trusting them with it. All right? Half full or half empty. Now, we're getting to this. A miracle's about to happen here. Okay, so number one, you evaluate your motive. Why do you really want more? Number two, inventory what you do have so that you know where you stand. Number three, let me give you this real quickly. Thank God for what you do have. Look at chapter 6, verse 11. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks. It's a little phrase, but all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Now, folks, listen to what we do. We inventory what we have. You see, you know, here's the disciples. We've got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Is that right? I didn't get them backwards. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And all the disciples are going, that's not enough. That's not enough. Jesus said, give those to me. Lord Jesus, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for what you have given me. Listen, folks, this is where we get back to this. You know what? Are you fussing, spend all your time fussing about this air up here, or are you thanking God for the water down here? Thank God for what you do have. Thank God for it. You know what we're talking about here? We're talking about contentment versus covetousness. The Bible speaks often of the importance of contentment. God used the Apostle Paul to write these words, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." The difference between needs and luxuries. You'll either spend your life thankful for the time you do have or bitter because you do not have more time. You'll either spend your life grateful for the strength you do have or angry because of the strength you don't have. You'll either spend your time content with the resources God has made available to you or covetous of what God has not put in your hand. Listen, this is what I'm saying. Stop whining about what you don't have and start being thankful for what God has given you. Your cup is not half empty, it's half full. We started the sermon by talking about what would happen if a waitress came and gave us half a glass of iced tea or half a cup of coffee or half a glass of water, because we've got this entitlement. Can I ask you this? Let me just ask you a question. You think about this. Say, preacher, man, Brother Reiser should have filled that all the way up, brought it to you for you. That's not enough. That's not enough to be thankful for. People in hell, that's right, weren't they just asking for one drop on their tongue? Let me tell you what I deserve and what you deserve. Hell. We're all sinners. Sit there and look pious at me. Every single one of us, we got what we deserve. We'd be burning in a devil's hell. So then God gives us a half glass of water and we're going to fuss at him? You know what I should be doing the rest of eternity? I should be burning in flames, begging that God would send somebody to put one drop of water on my tongue. Now God's given me a half glass and I want to talk. I don't sit there and fuss about where, I don't have the other half? That's craziness. So listen, here's what I find. Somebody that's thankful for what God does provide for them, God listens to that, hears it, and has a tendency to bless them with more. God gives some folks some, and they're irresponsible with it, and then they're not thankful for it. Come on, parents. Which one of those two kids are you going to give more to? So Jesus says, I'm going to thank God for what we do have, not whine about what we don't. Now, here's number four. Number four, begin to do something with what you do have. Well, I don't have enough. Well, they didn't either. I don't have enough. Well, they didn't. You have 5,000 hungry people, that's the men. Begin to do something with what you do have. Look at verse 10 and 11, very interesting. Once he found out what they had, once he found out in verse number 9 that they had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, you know what Jesus says in verse number 10? What's he say? Make the men sit down. But, well, we don't have enough. Let's get organized. Let's get ready to feed them. But we don't have to. Let's get ready. Hey, man, this is good. Let's get ready. Let's begin to do something. Preacher, I don't have enough time. What time do you have? Use it properly. Get busy with what you do have. By the way, read on down there. It's interesting. Not only is in verse number 10 there, but verse number 11, Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to his disciples and the disciples to them that were set down. Folks, listen. Jesus did not wave his hands over that basket of food and a mountain of food appear, and then he started distributing it. You know what he did? He said, this is what we do have, and we're going to start helping people with it. This is the time God has given me, and I'm going to start helping people. I'm going to start investing it in God's work. I'm going to start going soul winning. I'm going to join a bus route. I'm going to take a nursing home. I don't have a lot of time, but I'm going to take some of the time that God gives me, and I'm going to use it and begin to do something with it. Start organizing. Start getting ready. You know what God, I believe, looked down and saw when he saw that? I mean, you know what Jesus was basically doing? He was putting his Father in a situation where he was not going to look good if he didn't come through. Jesus knew what he was going to do. You know what? Folks, listen to me. Trust God. That's number 5. Trust God to supply what you don't have. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. What are we talking about here? We're talking about faith. Okay, God, I don't really have enough. I don't think I do have enough, but you've given me some. And I'm going to start doing with what I do have. I'm going to do something with what I have been given. I'm just going to trust. Listen, how about Romans 14:23? For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I believe this, folks. More times than not, God has never given me enough of what I needed, but he gave me enough to start. And if you sit down and you say, okay, Lord, I'm going to tell you, I know you've been giving me this much, but I need this much. You've only given me this much, but I need this much. So I've only got that much. So I'm going to sit here and I'm just going to wait until all of it's there. And then I'll start. And you know what? God hardly ever gives that person. You know why? Because faith is important. Faith is important. Trust God to supply what you do not have. Number 6, this is the last one. Watch God turn not enough into more than enough. What's exciting about this, when you get down to verse number 12 and 13, it says, and when they were filled. Wait a minute, I thought we didn't have enough. He said to the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of barley loaves that, which remained over and above unto them that have eaten. And wait a minute, you know what? The disciples were standing there with the little boy's lunch saying, it's not enough, it's not enough, it's not enough, it's not enough. Jesus said, let us pray. Let's thank God for what we do have. By the way, let's organize it. Get everybody sit down. All right, let's start. Disciples, come here. Line up. I'm going to start breaking bread. You start passing it out. And they're sitting there. This is stupid. You know what? We're going to run out. We're going to have a riot. And you know what? By the time the whole thing was done, everybody had enough. Everybody was filled. And they had 12 baskets. 12 baskets. They started with one little basket. They had 12 baskets of leftovers, fragments, extra. You know why? Because somebody decided they weren't going to look at this glass and say, well, it's just half full, so I guess until God fills it, I can't do anything. Folks, I've given you some very practical things, but I'm going to tell you something. This is not something I read in a book or some theory that I heard somebody. This is how to live your life and how me and my wife have lived our lives. And it's about time we start trusting God. It's about time we stop making excuses why we can't do what we ought to do and just start doing what we ought to do. You want to have some more time? I'm telling you the secret to having more time. Start using what you have properly. I mean, check your motive out. Are you serving God at all? Come on. Young couples, young people. I've got young adults sitting in this church, and I love you today. I love you with all my heart, but you know what? You don't do anything for God. Why in the world would God give you more? By the way, why should God not only give you more time, why should he give you next week? Why should he give you another year of life? Eat his food, drink his water, breathe his air, do nothing for God, nothing for God, nothing for God. You want to sit around and complain about how God's not good to you, but it's a bunch of, don't you come complaining to me. Get busy. What time do you have? Use it. What a formula. What a formula. What a formula. Check your motive. All right. Make sure that if I'm asking God for extra stuff, it's not just so I can consume it upon my own lust. Inventory what I do have. Organize that. Get it right. Figure it out. You know what? Live by schedule. Live by a budget. Number three, thank God for what you do have. Lose your poor me attitude and get a thankful spirit. I mean, begin to sing the song, when upon life's billows your tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is, count your many blessings, name them one by one, surprise you what the Lord hath done. You got more than you think you do. Begin to do something with what you do have. Trust God to supply what you don't have. Watch God turn not enough into enough. Older folks, when it comes to this matter of strength, and I'm done with this, every year goes by, our strength diminishes a little bit. Okay? It's really interesting, though. There's days I get up, like after a week of being with the teenagers. There's days that I get up and I think to myself, I don't know if I have enough strength to do what I need to do today. I don't know if I have enough strength. It's almost like the Lord says, well, what strength do you have? Well, I've got this. Then get up and start using it. I'm going to tell you, a funny thing happens. The days that I don't feel like I have enough strength to do everything that I need to do, when I get up and start using the strength I do have, God starts supplying me strength I didn't have. And by the way, that's a great way to live your life. You see, watch this. I'm done. You stop living life at some point and you start becoming a miracle. You know why? Because you don't have enough time and yet miraculously you get done more than enough. You don't have enough resources and yet miraculously God always comes through. You don't have enough strength and yet you're able to finish what you didn't think you could do. And you know what? You don't have enough wisdom, but when it push comes to shove, God puts something in your mind and gives you something, and you know, I woke up in the middle of the night praying over a situation, woke up in the middle of the night, I mean wide awake, and knew immediately, within seconds, what I needed to do about a situation. Knew exactly. God gave me supernatural midnight wisdom. You've got to decide how you're going to live your life. Let's bow our heads. Half full or half empty? Half full or half empty. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd take these thoughts this morning, Lord, and that you'd use them for your honor and your glory in our lives, dear God. Lord, we need a rewiring of our thinking. We need to ask you to help us to see situations as you see them. Many times we're like the disciples. It's impossible. I just don't have enough. We can't do it. Send them home. Lord Jesus, thank you for teaching us in this story a different way to think. Thank you for engaging your disciples in conversation, for asking them hard questions, for getting them thinking, and then showing them that there is a miraculous way to live your life. And I pray, Lord, that this message, maybe not as spectacular, maybe not as exciting as some, but with the opportunity to revolutionize the way we live, I pray, Lord, that frustrated wives and mothers will go home and begin to take inventory. Begin to understand that there's a way to do things, a right way to do things. I pray, Lord, that we look at our time and look at our responsibilities and look at our resources. and manage them in a way that would bring honor and glory to you. Or take these jumbled thoughts this morning, Lord, and please help somebody with them. We pray in Jesus' name.